What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, well, what is up, Real Life? I am super excited to have this opportunity to speak to you guys from a different position tonight, because a lot of times I see you all from behind a check-in desk or, you know, maybe some of you I know on a personal level. But tonight I have the opportunity to talk into every single one of your lives, and that's something that I'm not going to take lightly tonight. And I'm just going to say this because I'm going to say it in the face of the enemy. The enemy doesn't want me to speak this word tonight. He has come at my family. He's come at me this week. And so I believe that this word is so deeply rooted in my spirit that it's not just for me, but it's got to be for somebody in this crowd tonight. And so if I could, over the next few minutes, just grab your attention. If you'll just listen, I promise I won't be too long. But like I said, I know that this word is not just for me, but it's for us. So if you will bow your head, I'm going to start in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord. God, that this word, Lord, is your Holy Spirit speaking through me. God, none of this is mine, Father God. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts to receive your word, God. Lord, and ears that are listening to your voice tonight, Father. God, I pray for a vulnerability for us to be honest with ourselves, God, and that we would have fun with this because your word is fun, God, and it teaches us, and it is teaching us in our lives, God. And so I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So I actually love that Pastor Jonathan said that females are better at relationships. Sorry to all you guys, but I do believe that's true because we bring a little bit more emotion to things than I think guys can. Not that Pastor Jonathan doesn't bring emotion, but I'm really excited to bring that to this message today because we have been talking all about love. And so if you remember, if you were here or if you weren't here, the first week that we did love games, we talked about a love for other people. And then last week, we talked about a love for ourselves. And something that I was thinking about when Pastor Jonathan asked me to speak tonight is how hard it is to do both of those things. How hard is it for us to love other people and how hard it is for us to love ourselves and maybe why that happens. And the best thing that I could come up with in my mind is that other people, sometimes, like, they suck. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say that. Like, they hurt us, and they do us wrong, and they fall short, and they don't meet the expectation that we've placed on them. And so when they do that, it hurts. You know, it hurts, and we don't want to love them back. And then for ourselves, I know for me at least, sometimes I can be my biggest critic. And, like, I'll start to believe all these lies that the enemy is feeding to me. And I'll start to believe these lies that maybe your peers or something is talking to you. I know you guys are in high school, and I know high school is hard. And I know that people around you are talking. And so I know that it's hard to love yourself when you're in the middle of that situation. But tonight, the main point of my message is that we don't have to settle for a flawed love because there is a love that is greater. There is a love that reaches to us when we can't give that to ourselves and when no one else here can give that love to us. And so if you're taking notes tonight, you don't have to write all these down right now because I'll go back over them. But the three main things that I think about God's love, this greater love that I want to talk about, is the fact that God's love is unrestrained. It has no limitations. God's love forgives us when we don't deserve it. And God's love heals every part of our hearts, every part of our brokenness. And so if you have a copy of God's word tonight, I want to invite you to go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 5. And I'll give you a second. In this chapter, we're going to find a story of a woman who has been suffering with an issue of blood. And I'm going to add a little more to that story than just her part of the story. And so if you will listen quickly, I know that this is kind of long, but if you'll just stay with me, I'm going to start in verse 21 and I'm going to go through 34. So it starts and it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and passed around him. That's the part of the story that I want you to kind of keep in the back of your mind. But that's not the main person in this story. And scripture continues and it says, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she only grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd, and he started asking, 'Who touched my clothes?' And they, in return, these people said, 'You see all of these people around you. How are you going to ask that just who touched you when so many people are around you?' And it says, 'But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" And so my first point tonight is the fact that that God's love is unrestrained. And as I said earlier, that word simply means not restrained, not restricted, with no limitations. God's love has no limit. And so that first part of the story of the scripture that I asked you to kind of keep in the back of your mind, it was about this man who had come up to Jesus and he was pleading with him. He was like, "My daughter is going to die. Jesus, if you can just come up and you can lay a hand on her, she's going to be healed." And so Jesus gets up and he follows this man. And it's in the middle of this little girl's healing story that he heals the woman with the issue of blood. And I want to tell you tonight, because that's God's love has no limitations. It's not reaching to certain people and not to you. And so that part of the story got me thinking about how we can compare. We start this game of comparison in our lives, and we'll look at other people and the blessings that they've received, or the prayers and just the answers that the Lord is giving them. And a lot of times we can find ourselves like sitting there and looking at other people and thinking, "Well, why isn't my blessing that big? Or why isn't God listening to me? Why isn't God answering my prayer?" And like I said, this woman who was so desperate for 12 years had been suffering, found her miracle in the middle of someone else's story. And I think that that's us tonight sometimes, because like I said, we're looking at other people, but that doesn't mean just because God's answering someone else's prayers, just because God is giving somebody else a blessing, it doesn't mean that he's forgotten about you. And I want to tell you tonight that God's love will reach you no matter where you are. And this is something that I want put on the screens, because I believe it with everything inside of me, is that when it seems like you've been waiting too long for an answered prayer, it is his love that is waiting to give it to you in his perfect timing. And so basically by that, obviously, it's pretty simple, pretty word for word. But like I said, God's love has no limitations, not for us, not for you, not for me. His love is always for you, and it is always with you, no matter the situation, no matter what's going on in someone else's life. And so that's how we see God's love is unrestrained. And my second point tonight is that God's love forgives. In week one, Pastor Jonathan talked about how we talked about loving other people. And a minute ago, I admitted to the fact that that gets pretty hard because people hurt us. And we don't want to love people back because they've done us wrong or that they've hurt us. But you see, you will never experience the fullness of God's love if you are holding on to the bitterness of a past hurt. I want to say that again, because I thought that was pretty powerful, so I want to hear from you. You will never experience the fullness of God's love if you are holding on to the bitterness of a past hurt. And so I want to put this in the perspective of this woman in the story, now moving on to the woman with the issue of blood. And I think we're all grown enough in here to understand what that means for a woman to be struggling with this. And let's be really honest, most of the women in here, we only struggle with this maybe 12 times a year, and we're not very, like, fun to be around when this is going on. And so I imagine this woman who has been struggling with it for 12 years has had a lot of people in her life reject her. And I imagine that the situation that she's in, her health condition that she's in, has kept her from going outside, maybe other than seeing doctors or stuff like that, simple things like groceries. I don't know, the Bible's not too clear on that. But I would imagine that she probably stayed inside a lot more than most of us because of this issue. And so because of that, I bet that friends and family were rejecting her. And one of the things that, once Jesus healed her, there were probably many relationships that needed to be mended. And I think that that's like, you know, we see this story of a physical healing in her life, but I think it was so much more than that. I think that there was an emotional healing that took place, and I believe that there were relationships that were mended after she was healed. And so what this kind of made me ask myself is, how often do we let other people's actions dictate how we manage our relationships? And so this woman who's been walking through, you know, the suffering for 12 years, I wonder if when Jesus healed her, if she walked away still holding on to a bitterness and still holding on to a hurt of all of those people who, you know, kind of pushed her to the side and kind of secluded her. And I think that we do that in our own lives. When people wrong us or reject us, you know, we kind of walk away from that situation, kind of building a wall up against our hearts. And I think that it's biblical, you know, not to build a wall up, but to guard your heart against certain things, against people who hurt you. It's important that we can do that in our own lives. But I think that sometimes we can build walls up so much that our cautiousness is no longer protecting us. It's only keeping us from experiencing the forgiveness that God has for us. And I think that ultimately keeps us from truly loving other people. You know, we carry around this bitterness and this hurt, and it keeps us from truly loving other people. And ultimately, I think that keeps us from the love of God. And I don't know about you, but tonight I'm thankful for a love that forgives me when I don't deserve it. Because let's be honest, I think all of us in this room have been in a place where we haven't deserved forgiveness. And God is always forgiving us. But I know that there are other people, whether they're in this room or they're in your life somewhere, who have forgiven you when you didn't deserve it. And that's what God's love does for us. It allows us to reach out to other people and to forgive them. So love, God's love is unrestrained. God's love forgives. And my last point is that God's love heals. And I think that this is the obvious takeaway from this story in the Bible of this woman. And if we can look back at verse 26 for a second, it says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she only grew worse. So for 12 years, this woman did everything in her power to find healing. She spent all the money she had. I would believe she spent everything that she had emotionally to find healing. And I think that what this seems like is her using Jesus as a last resort. But we're never going to see the healing power of Jesus in our lives if we're trying to do it in our own strength. Because that's what she did. It literally says that she spent all that she had, all of her money, and like I said, all of her emotions, all of her abilities. But we're never going to experience that healing power in our lives if we're trying to do it on our own. And the scripture continues, and it says that when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And so like I said, I feel like that kind of seems like it's her last resort. Like maybe she heard like, oh, Jesus is going to be in town. And I know I've heard this man or I've heard about this man and he heals people and he's doing these crazy miraculous things. And so maybe if I go see him, maybe if I can just touch his clothes, maybe I'll be healed. And it seems like this was her last option. Like if Jesus didn't show up in her town that day, maybe she never would have experienced the healing. I'm not placing that on her. I'm just saying maybe that was her mindset. And so I started thinking, how often do we do that in our lives? That instead of Jesus being the first one that we give our suffering to, we try everything in our power to fix it. And we do everything in our strength to try and fix it and heal ourselves. And then when we finally come to the bottom is when we turn to Jesus and we're like, Jesus, okay, now I really need your help. I really need healing. But what would our lives look like? How much better would we walk through these times of suffering if we went to Jesus first? And so I've got a story to tell you guys that I want to share with you. And it's a personal story. And like I said, the enemy has really been coming against me this week. And I am a firm believer that everybody who speaks on stage, all of your leaders, every single one of us, we never want to act like we are above you or that we aren't also going through it. And so if it's okay with you, I'm going to be really honest tonight about what my life has looked like for the past 5 years and even what my life has looked like over the past 2 days. Because I want you guys to know, like I said, this word has been so deeply rooted in my spirit and it has brought me encouragement and it has spoken to my heart and to what I'm walking through. And so to start off, about 5 years ago, my parents got divorced. They were married for 25 years before they did. And you know, divorce is such a weird thing because it's a new normal for a lot of us in this room. And that's really sad to hear. You know, many people that you like meet or that you talk to, unfortunately, a lot of parents get divorced. And so at first I kind of had that mindset of the fact that like, it's not that big of a deal because everyone's parents do it. Everyone walks through this, like it's not going to hurt me that much, you know? But I was really wrong because 5 years down the road and I still have wounds from that decision that my parents made. And so one of the things that kind of happened is that when they got divorced, it kind of split. We were a family of four. It kind of split us into four individuals. Like it didn't even split our family into half. It literally, all of us just started doing our own thing. My sister, shout out to her. She's in the back. She's awesome. But she actually moved to North Carolina to go do her own thing. I moved out of the house and started doing my own thing. And my dad and my mom, obviously, both living for themselves. And it's almost as if my parents started living like they didn't have any kids. They had no responsibility to us. Granted, we were old enough. I was 18. My sister was 20-something. We were old enough to take care of ourselves. But emotionally, my parents started to draw back. And that was something that I didn't realize at the time. But like I said, 5 years down the road, I still feel that void inside of my heart. And I still lack the love of a parent. And I think that that's something I've been telling some girls in here recently, that a lot of times when we're hurting and we're trying to make up for it in relationships or we're trying to make up for it, you know, by doing whatever we do to cope with our feelings, it's just a deeper issue that we're just trying to mask so that we don't have to deal with a deeper issue. And so for 5 years, I've been walking around just masking this issue that I've lacked a parent's love, both mother and father. And so my dad, he got remarried. She's an awesome lady. She supports me. But they've got two goddaughters that they consider their own, which is awesome. They're very sweet. One of them actually lives with them. But a lot of times I'll find myself getting bitter because my dad will spend more time with them and kind of not neglect me, not trying to make him sound like a bad guy. But since one of them lives with them, he gets to spend more time with them, gets to talk with them more. And then my mom, she actually lives right up the road. I never get to see her, really. And if I don't reach out to her, I usually don't hear back from her. And so that's been really hard for me. And like I said, it's this empty place inside of my heart that I've been longing to find something to fill it. And I haven't been able to. And over the past 2 days, like I said, the family's really been attacking my family. But I want you to know that in the past 2 days, the Lord has given me enough grace and mercy to see into why my parents can't love me the way that God can love me. Because my parents are still flawed. My parents are still human. Just like so many of us, we're searching for this love that's going to fill this void inside of our heart, but nothing is going to fill it like the love of God. Because we cannot place that expectation on people. Because people are people and they're flawed. And they can't love us like the Lord can love us. And so as I close, that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. Is that I don't know what situation you're walking through. I don't know what kind of hurt that you've experienced in your life. But I do know, and I can confidently say as I'm standing here, that the love of God is what gets you through. And the love of God is what's going to bring you through to the next season of your life. As I said, I've struggled with this for 5 years. Seems like a long time to still be struggling with the same thing. But it wasn't until 2 days ago that the Lord opened my eyes to the fact that it's His love that's going to replace that void. And that seems so silly, and it was almost hard for me to admit because I'm a leader. I'm the one who's supposed to be speaking this kind of stuff and encouraging you guys to realize the love of God in your life. But the truth was is that I was still walking through it, and I was still walking with an emptiness inside of my life. But through some really dark times in my mom's life, he's allowed me to see her flaws, and he's allowed me to see that she's also broken. And because I can see that in her life, I can see that there's no limit in God like there is in my parents. And I can see that I can forgive my parents because I can't place that expectation on them. And above everything, if you don't hear anything tonight, I want you to know that God's love heals you so much better than anything in this world, so much more than anything this world can bring you. God's love will come in and he'll invade every part of your brokenness. And so if you would, bow your heads. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord. God, that your love surpasses everything, Father. God, that even when we try to fill ourselves, God, when we try to do it in our own strength, God, Lord, that you are still there. God, you are still speaking to us, God. And no matter how far away from you that we go, Father, God, your love is always there. And God, I pray that we could be vulnerable with ourselves tonight, God, and look inwardly and see what it is in our lives that we're trying to mask. What deeper things are we dealing with, God, that we need to bring to you, God, that we need your love to fix tonight, Father God, just like this woman in the story. God, we don't want to use you as a last resort tonight, but we want to give you everything that we have, God, and we want to invite your love into our hearts, God, so that we can experience the fullness of your love tonight, Father God. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.